little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
So now a patient came to me with Kruger's problem. I explained to him plenty, but the bottom line, what helped was printing from patient that could
yeah. Okay. Yes, brilliant. Yes, fantastic. That's really good, yeah. So not only am I saying this, but it's real. Look, here's a name with a hard piece of paper, and it's not me saying it. That can be very helpful. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Jo.
No, I was just going to say, I had a similar situation as well with someone who took their mum had just died and they had glaucoma symptoms. But he was also, and he was a physical symptom patient, because I've seen him later with something else. Yeah. I said, oh, that was all better, actually. It was fine, but now I've got this foot pain. But but he was aware of it. He thought it probably was, had a psychological or functional basis, yeah. But he also knew someone who'd had this when they'd had a bereavement, and then it had turned out to be a throat cancer yes. or something. There yes. was a story that was...
Yes. So and of course, we could have...
And also worried about cancer, so we had one of two worries.
And we could have upped the ante by making you 55 and a smoker and a drinker, but clearly everything else pointed towards this being a functional problem. Try and avoid psychological problem. It's not a psychological problem, it's a functional problem, which we may be able to understand by invoking psychology as well as body. But it's but in that circumstance, you may say everything is pointing right now towards this being a problem simply of the movement of your throat and a heightened awareness of that in your brain. However, you have two risk factors for structural disease, for something having gone wrong with the tissues. You're a smoker and you're a long-standing drinker. And for that reason, I think we must have someone have a look at the area. However, if that comes back negative, which I think it probably will, then we can be very reassured that this is actually a problem with the function of this area of your throat. And we'll probably, if you can tell your brain to stop paying attention to it, which is tricky, but if we can teach you, or you can teach your brain how to stop paying attention to it, you'll find that the symptom will disappear.
There's another tool that's useful for this particular functional illness. So because it's linked to stress symptoms, stress being the trigger, or at least part of the trigger, and we're using this explanation of tension, muscular tension, but there is a real muscular tension as a phenomenon within this. If we give them a trial, a short-term trial with diazepam, we'll quite often reach an appreciable improvement with their symptoms, which is enormously powerful and reassuring both to the patient and to the doctor, which subverts the need to do any further investigations oftentimes. And then allows nature to take its course.
Yeah, and I think that's a very legitimate use with an explanation. Mm. If you say, I'm just going to give you diazepam,
they think
I'm a neurotic, man person, and, my cancer's going to be delayed in this diagnosis. So you have to explain that. If we can take some of the adrenaline and the stress hormones out of the situation, because we know those increase the sensitivity of your brain to the signal from here. If we can cut that out and lower the temperature of your brain, and that takes your symptoms away, that is really helpful in making the diagnosis. But it's got a little bit of risk attached to it, because if it doesn't, you're buggered. you've got an ENT referral. You've got no more land.
That's what happened actually.
Yeah, you've got no more land to stand on. So it's better if you can do it without, because I would not predict how long. I would say this will go when your brain is happy that there's no danger. Okay, I don't think there's any danger, but it won't go until your brain thinks there's no danger.
And what kind of things could you tell? So if the patient says, well, what kind of things can I do to help my brain like pay less attention to it?
Okay, so one of the things is try and distract yourself with something else. What would that be
yeah.
for you?
Okay.
And then notice
Right.
Was it so aware of it? Okay. And that helps retrain your brain.
Yeah.
Okay. I think also having this explanation in mind may help your brain turn down the volume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A third thing, the question is, how do I retrain my brain?
More awareness.
More
awareness.
So go on, Fran. Yes.
But the problem in the reality does not exist. But we're creating it for ourselves.
It does exist.
No, in the reality, there's no physical problem.
Does it? No. That is wrong.
What?
Because there is a physical problem.
This is the feeling.
And what did we decide? That you couldn't have a feeling without a physical substrate.
I think yes.
No.
Why?
Because you need a brain with chemicals. And to have a thought, you have transmission. And things are changing as you think.
That's true. That's true.
There's no physical explanation. Yes. So I think you have to be very careful about saying it doesn't exist. It does exist because I am experiencing it.
Fine.
You have to start from that. Now, because if you don't, it is entirely imagined, and people just find that very difficult to accept. So I think you may ethically feel you can distinguish between, but let me go back to migraine. Does migraine exist?
The pain perception does exist. The pain perception.
Is it real? Is migraine real? Is migraine real?
Yes.
Well, for those of you who have it, it feels
the headache is real. Yeah. The headache.
So why isn't the sensation in your throat real?
Because there's no physical explanation for it.
There is.
But it depends what you mean by real. Like,
is happiness real?
Yeah.
Is happiness real?
for the patient.
Oh, no, it's not real.
It's real.
Yes. I think you've got to be very careful about this because I think you're falling into an old thinking. I think you're falling into there are real things that we can measure and everything else is not real. Bullshit. We know that my IBS wasn't real 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's real now. You don't think it's not real? I mean, I've got people that can't get out of the house because of functional diarrhea. Get ruining their life.
And you can't make diarrhea up.
No.
You know, like, no. It's, you know.
And the idea that people make any of this up is vanishingly small. There are, of course, we found out the other day that a patient of ours who's had a kidney removed for pelvo-urocheric junction syndrome is now selling all the opiates that different members of our team have been giving him on acute scripts for the last 3 months. And someone else who's an ex-druggie said, by the way, just wanted you to know. So one of my partners is going to have a great conversation coming up shortly. But they're vanishing. I mean, not vanishing, but they're small. It's small. Most people, I mean, all sorts of things will amplify symptoms. And all sorts of things will make someone amplify them in your presence where they, you know, you don't store up all your symptoms to tell the checkout person. You store them up to tell the doctor. You may, if you're really dysfunctional, also be telling the checkout person. But, you know, people function far better in their lives than they appear to sometimes function. You've always seen people who come in, you know, with lots of aches and pains and seem to sort of walk out a lot more sprightly. But that's not because it's not real. It's because the meaning and the way in which we interpret and, you know, fluctuates.
Mm.
But it's not real. It's a misinterpretation. So I can get you to listen to your knee. And if I get you to really focus on your knee, I can get you to feel symptoms in your knee. Now, are they real or not real? So let's do this. Yeah, I want you to sit there like this.
I don't need to.
Chair down. Bless you. And what's that?
I said I don't need to. I've got loads of paper. Right.
All right, sorry about that. But so when I do this with patients, it's a slightly high risk. But if you get, okay, so we're just going to sit here. I want you to sit calmly like this. And I want you to focus your brain on your right knee. Just want you to see how much you can pick up in terms of any signals that your right knee is sending you. Try and locate it. Try and pick up anything that it's... I want to look at it. Okay, does anyone notice anything? What do you notice?
What, a bit numb.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, right. That's different to the other one.
Do you notice anything?
I did the opposite side.
I feel the pain there. Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't always work, and you've got to be careful. But it can be quite a powerful demonstration to people about the power of the brain to focus. And, you know, so, to focus on a part of your body, and if you do that, you will pick up noise.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.